Your Own Mind, translated by Bhikkhu Sajjato. Your Own Mind. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, an Atapindika's monastery. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. "Mendicants, venerable sir," they replied. The Buddha said this: "Mendicants, if a mendicant isn't skilled in the ways of another's mind, then they should train themselves, 'I will be skilled in the ways of my own mind.' And how is a mendicant skilled in the ways of their own mind? Suppose there was a woman or man who was young, youthful, and fond of adornments, and they check their own reflection in a clean, bright mirror or a clear bowl of water. If they see any dirt or blemish there, they'd try to remove it. But if they don't see any dirt or blemish there, they're happy with that, as they've got all they wished for. How fortunate that I'm clean!" In the same way, checking is very helpful for a mendicant's skilful qualities. Am I often covetous or not? Am I often malicious or not? Am I often overcome with dullness and drowsiness or not? Am I often restless or not? Am I often doubtful or not? Am I often irritable or not? Am I often corrupted in mind or not? Am I often disturbed in body or not? Am I often energetic or not? Am I often immersed in samadhi or not? Suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I am often covetous, malicious, overcome with dullness and drowsiness, restlessness, doubtful, irritable, defiled in mind, disturbed in body, lazy, and not immersed in samadhi. In order to give up those bad, unskillful qualities, they should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. Suppose your clothes or head were on fire. In order to extinguish it, you'd apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. In the same way, in order to give up those bad, unskillful qualities, that mendicant should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. But suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I am often content, kind-hearted, free of dullness and drowsiness, calm, confident, loving, pure in mind, undisturbed in body, energetic, and immersed in samadhi. Grounded on those skillful qualities, they should practice meditation further to end the defilements. With Sariputta. There Sariputta addressed the mendicants. "Reverends, mendicants." "Reverend," they replied. Sariputta said this: "Reverends, if a mendicant isn't skilled in the ways of another's mind, then they should train themselves. I will be skilled in the ways of my own mind." And how is a mendicant skilled in the ways of their own mind? Suppose there was a woman or man who was young, youthful, and fond of adornments, and they check their own reflection in a clean, bright mirror or a clear bowl of water. If they see any dirt or blemish there, they'd try to remove it. But if they don't see any dirt or blemish there, they're happy with that, as they've got all they wished for. How fortunate that I'm clean! In the same way, checking is very helpful for a mendicant's skillful qualities. Am I often covetous or not? Am I often malicious or not? Am I often overcome with dullness and drowsiness or not? Am I often restless or not? Am I often doubtful or not? Am I often irritable or not? Am I often defiled in mind or not? Am I often disturbed in body or not? Am I often energetic or not? Am I often immersed in samadhi or not? Suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I am often covetous, malicious, overcome with dullness and drowsiness, restless, doubtful, angry, defiled in mind, disturbed in body, lazy and not immersed in samadhi. In order to give up those bad, unskillful qualities, they should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. Suppose your clothes or head were on fire. In order to extinguish it, you'd apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. In the same way, in order to give up those bad, unskillful qualities, that mendicant should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. But suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this. I am often content, kind-hearted, rid of dullness and drowsiness, calm, confident, loving, pure in mind, undisturbed in body, energetic and immersed in samadhi. Grounded on those skillful qualities, they should practice meditation further to end the defilements. Stagnation. Mendicants, I don't praise stagnation in skillful qualities, let alone decline. I praise growth in skillful qualities, not stagnation or decline. And how is there decline in skillful qualities, not stagnation or growth? It's when a mendicant has a certain degree of faith, ethics, generosity, wisdom, and eloquence. Those qualities neither stagnate nor grow in them. I call this decline in skillful qualities, not stagnation or growth. This is how there's decline in skillful qualities, not stagnation or growth. And how is there stagnation in skillful qualities, not decline or growth? It's when a mendicant has a certain degree of faith, ethics, generosity, wisdom, and eloquence. Those qualities neither decline nor grow in them. I call this stagnation in skillful qualities, not decline or growth. This is how there's stagnation in skillful qualities, not decline or growth. And how is there growth in skillful qualities, not stagnation or decline? It's when a mendicant has a certain degree of faith, ethics, generosity, wisdom, and eloquence. Those qualities neither stagnate nor decline in them. I call this growth in skillful qualities, not stagnation or decline. This is how there's growth in skillful qualities, not stagnation or decline. If a mendicant isn't skilled in the ways of another's mind, then they should train themselves, I will be skilled in the ways of my own mind. And how is a mendicant skilled in the ways of their own mind? Suppose there was a woman or man who was young, youthful and fond of adornments, and they check their own reflection in a clean, bright mirror or a clear bowl of water. If they see any dirt or blemish there, they'd try to remove it. But if they don't see any dirt or blemish there, they're happy with that, as they've got all they wished for. How fortunate that I'm clean! In the same way, checking is very helpful for a mendicant's skillful qualities. Am I often covetous or not? Am I often malicious or not? Am I often overcome with dullness and drowsiness or not? Am I often restless or not? Am I often doubtful or not? Am I often irritable or not? Am I often defiled in mind or not? Am I often disturbed in body or not? Am I often energetic or not? Am I often immersed in samadhi or not? Suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this. I am often covetous, malicious, overcome with dullness and drowsiness, restless, doubtful, irritable, defiled in mind, disturbed in body, lazy, and not immersed in samadhi. In order to give up those bad, unskillful qualities, they should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. Suppose your clothes or head were on fire. In order to extinguish it, you'd apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. In the same way, in order to give up those bad, unskillful qualities, that mendicant should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. But suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I am often content, kind-hearted, rid of dullness and drowsiness, calm, confident, loving, pure in mind, undisturbed in body, energetic, and immersed in samadhi. Grounded on those skillful qualities, they should practice meditation further to end the defilements. Serenity. Mendicants, if a mendicant isn't skilled in the ways of another's mind, then they should train themselves, "I will be skilled in the ways of my own mind." And how is a mendicant skilled in the ways of their own mind? Suppose there was a woman or man who was young, youthful, and fond of adornments, and they check their own reflection in a clean, bright mirror or a clear bowl of water. If they see any dirt or blemish there, they'd try to remove it. But if they don't see any dirt or blemish there, they're happy with that, as they've got all they wished for. How fortunate that I'm clean. In the same way, checking is very helpful for a mendicant's skillful qualities. Do I have internal serenity of heart or not? Do I have the higher wisdom of discernment of principles or not? Suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I have serenity, but not discernment. Grounded on serenity, they should practice meditation to get discernment. After some time, they have both serenity and discernment. But suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I have discernment, but not serenity. Grounded on discernment, they should practice meditation to get serenity. After some time, they have both serenity and discernment. But suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I have neither serenity nor discernment. In order to get those skillful qualities, they should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. Suppose your clothes or head were on fire. In order to extinguish it, you'd apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. In the same way, in order to get those skillful qualities, that mendicant should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. After some time, they have both serenity and discernment. But suppose that, upon checking, a mendicant knows this: I have both serenity and discernment. Grounded on those skillful qualities, they should practice meditation further to end the defilements. I say that there are two kinds of robes: those you should wear and those you shouldn't wear. I say that there are two kinds of alms food: that which you should eat and that which you shouldn't eat. I say that there are two kinds of lodging: those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. I say that there are two kinds of village or town: those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. I say that there are two kinds of country: those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. I say that there are two kinds of people: those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. I say that there are two kinds of robes: those you should wear and those you shouldn't wear. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Well, should you know of a robe, when I wear this robe, unskillful qualities grow and skillful qualities decline, you should not wear that kind of robe. Whereas, should you know of a robe, when I wear this robe, unskillful qualities decline and skillful qualities grow, you should wear that kind of robe. I say that there are two kinds of robes: those you should wear and those you shouldn't wear. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. I say that there are two kinds of alms food: that which you should eat and that which you shouldn't eat. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Well, should you know of alms food, when I eat this alms food, unskillful qualities grow and skillful qualities decline, you should not eat that kind of alms food. Whereas, should you know of alms food, when I eat this alms food, unskillful qualities decline and skillful qualities grow, you should eat that kind of alms food. I say that there are two kinds of alms food, that which you should eat and that which you shouldn't eat. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. I say that there are two kinds of lodging, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Well, should you know of a lodging, when I frequent this lodging, unskillful qualities grow and skillful qualities decline, you should not frequent that kind of lodging. Whereas, should you know of a lodging, when I frequent this lodging, unskillful qualities decline and skillful qualities grow, you should frequent that kind of lodging. I say that there are two kinds of lodging, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. I say that there are two kinds of village or town, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Well, should you know of a village or town, when I frequent this village or town, unskillful qualities grow and skillful qualities decline, you should not frequent that kind of village or town. Whereas, should you know of a village or town, when I frequent this village or town, unskillful qualities decline and skillful qualities grow, you should frequent that kind of village or town. I say that there are two kinds of village or town, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. I say that there are two kinds of country, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Well, should you know of a country, when I frequent this country, unskillful qualities grow and skillful qualities decline, you should not frequent that kind of country. Whereas, should you know of a country, when I frequent this country, unskillful qualities decline and skillful qualities grow, you should frequent that kind of country. I say that there are two kinds of country, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. I say that there are two kinds of people, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Well, should you know of a person, when I frequent this person, unskillful qualities grow and skillful qualities decline, you should not frequent that kind of person. Whereas, should you know of a person, when I frequent this person, unskillful qualities decline and skillful qualities grow, you should frequent that kind of person. I say that there are two kinds of people, those you should frequent and those you shouldn't frequent. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. Decline. There Sariputta addressed the mendicants. Reverends, mendicants. Reverend, they replied. Sariputta said this. Reverends, they speak of a person liable to decline and one not liable to decline. But how did the Buddha define a person liable to decline and one not liable to decline? Reverend, we would travel a long way to learn the meaning of this statement in the presence of Venerable Sariputta. May Venerable Sariputta himself please clarify the meaning of this. The mendicants will listen and remember it. Then listen and apply your mind well. I will speak. Yes, Reverend, they replied. Sariputta said this. How did the Buddha define a person liable to decline? It's when a mendicant doesn't get to hear a teaching they haven't heard before. They forget those teachings they have heard. They don't keep exercising the teachings with which they are already familiar, and they don't come to understand what they haven't understood before. That's how the Buddha defined a person liable to decline. And how did the Buddha define a person not liable to decline? It's when a mendicant gets to hear a teaching they haven't heard before. They remember those teachings they have heard. They keep exercising the teachings with which they are already familiar. And they come to understand what they haven't understood before. That's how the Buddha defined a person not liable to decline. If a mendicant isn't skilled in the ways of another's mind, then they should train themselves, I will be skilled in the ways of my own mind. And how is a mendicant skilled in the ways of their own mind? Suppose there was a woman or man who was young, youthful, and fond of adornments, and they check their own reflection in a clean, bright mirror or a clear bowl of water. If they see any dirt or blemish there, they try to remove it. But if they don't see any dirt or blemish there, they're happy with that, as they've got all they wished for. How fortunate that I'm clean. In the same way, checking is very helpful for a mendicant's skillful qualities. Is contentment often found in me or not? Is kind-heartedness often found in me or not? Is freedom from dullness and drowsiness often found in me or not? Is calm often found in me or not? Is confidence often found in me or not? Is love often found in me or not? Is purity of mind often found in me or not? Is internal joy with the teaching found in me or not? Is internal serenity of heart found in me or not? Is the higher wisdom of discernment of principles found in me or not? Suppose a mendicant, while checking, doesn't see any of these skillful qualities in themselves. In order to get them, they should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. Suppose your clothes or head were on fire. In order to extinguish it, you'd apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. In the same way, they should apply intense enthusiasm to get those skillful qualities. Suppose a mendicant, while checking, sees some of these skillful qualities in themselves, but doesn't see others. Grounded on the skillful qualities they see, they should apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness in order to get the skillful qualities they don't see. Suppose your clothes or head were on fire. In order to extinguish it, you'd apply intense enthusiasm, effort, zeal, vigour, perseverance, mindfulness, and situational awareness. In the same way, grounded on the skillful qualities they see, they should apply intense enthusiasm to get those skillful qualities they don't see. But suppose a mendicant, while checking, sees all of these skillful qualities in themselves. Grounded on all these skillful qualities, they should practice meditation further to end the defilements. Perceptions, first. Mendicants, these 10 perceptions, when developed and cultivated, are very fruitful and beneficial. They culminate in freedom from death and end in freedom from death. What 10? The perceptions of ugliness, death, repulsiveness of food, dissatisfaction with the whole world, impermanence, suffering in impermanence, and not self in suffering, giving up, fading away, and cessation. These 10 perceptions, when developed and cultivated, are very fruitful and beneficial. They culminate in freedom from death and end in freedom from death. Perceptions, second. Mendicants, these 10 perceptions, when developed and cultivated, are very fruitful and beneficial. They culminate in freedom from death and end in freedom from death. What 10? The perceptions of impermanence, not-self, death, repulsiveness of food, dissatisfaction with the whole world, a skeleton, a worm-infested corpse, a livid corpse, a split-open corpse, and a bloated corpse. These 10 perceptions, when developed and cultivated, are very fruitful and beneficial. They culminate in freedom from death and end in freedom from death. Rooted. Mendicants, if wanderers of other religions were to ask, Reverends, all things have what as their root, what produces them, what is their origin, what is their meeting place, what is their chief, what is their ruler, what is their overseer, what is their core, what is their culmination, what is their final end, how would you answer them? Our teachings are rooted in the Buddha. He is our guide and our refuge. Sir, may the Buddha himself please clarify the meaning of this. The mendicants will listen and remember it. Well then, mendicants, listen and apply your mind well. I will speak. Yes, sir, they replied. The Buddha said this. Mendicants, if wanderers of other religions were to ask, Reverends, all things have what as their root, what produces them? What is their origin? What is their meeting place? What is their chief? What is their ruler? What is their overseer? What is their core? What is their culmination? What is their final end? You should answer them, Reverends, all things are rooted in desire. They are produced by application of mind. Contact is their origin. Feeling is their meeting place. Immersion is their chief. Mindfulness is their ruler. Wisdom is their overseer. Freedom is their core. They culminate in freedom from death, and extinguishment is their final end. When questioned by wanderers of other religions, that's how you should answer them. Going forth. So you should train like this. Our minds will be consolidated as they were when we went forth, and arisen bad, unskillful qualities will not occupy our minds. Our minds will be consolidated in the perceptions of impermanence, not-self, ugliness, and drawbacks. Knowing what is fair and unfair in the world, our minds will be consolidated in that perception. Knowing continued existence and ending of existence in the world, our minds will be consolidated in that perception. Knowing the origination and ending of the world, our minds will be consolidated in that perception. Our minds will be consolidated in the perceptions of giving up, fading away, and cessation. That's how you should train. When your minds are consolidated in these 10 perceptions, you can expect one of two results: enlightenment in this very life, or if there's something left over, non-return. With Giri Mananda. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, an Ottapindika's monastery. Now at that time, Venerable Giri Mananda was sick, suffering, gravely ill. Then Venerable Ananda went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, Sir, Venerable Giri Mananda is sick, suffering, gravely ill. Sir, please go to Venerable Giri Mananda out of sympathy. Ananda, if you were to recite to the mendicant Giri Mananda these 10 perceptions, it's possible that, after hearing them, his illness will die down on the spot. What 10? The perceptions of impermanence, not-self, ugliness, drawbacks, giving up, fading away, cessation, dissatisfaction with the whole world, impermanence of all conditions, and mindfulness of breathing. And what is the perception of impermanence? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, and reflects like this. Form, feeling, perception, choices, and consciousness are impermanent. And so they meditate, observing impermanence in the 5 grasping aggregates. This is called the perception of impermanence. And what is the perception of not-self? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, and reflects like this: the eye and sights, ear and sounds, nose and smells, tongue and tastes, body and touches, and mind and ideas are not self. And so they meditate, observing not self in the six interior and exterior sense fields. This is called the perception of not self. And what is the perception of ugliness? It's when a mendicant examines their own body up from the soles of the feet and down from the tips of the hairs, wrapped in skin and full of many kinds of filth. In this body there is head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, intestines, mesentery, undigested food, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, grease, saliva, snot, synovial fluid, urine. And so they meditate, observing ugliness in this body. This is called the perception of ugliness. And what is the perception of drawbacks? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, and reflects like this: this body has much suffering and many drawbacks, for this body is beset with many kinds of affliction, such as the following: diseases of the eye, inner ear, nose, tongue, body, head, outer ear, mouth, teeth, and lips, cough, asthma, catarrh, inflammation, fever, stomachache, fainting, dysentery, gastric pain, cholera, leprosy, boils, eczema, tuberculosis, epilepsy, herpes, itch, scabs, smallpox, scabies, hemorrhage, diabetes, piles, pimples, and ulcers. Afflictions stemming from disorders of bile, phlegm, wind, or their conjunction. Afflictions caused by change in weather, by not taking care of yourself, by overexertion, or as the result of past deeds. Cold, heat, hunger, thirst, defecation, and urination. And so they meditate, observing drawbacks in this body. This is called the perception of drawbacks. And what is the perception of giving up? It's when a mendicant doesn't tolerate a sensual, malicious, or cruel thought that has arisen, and they don't tolerate any bad, unskillful qualities that have arisen, but give them up, get rid of them, eliminate them, and obliterate them. This is called the perception of giving up. And what is the perception of fading away? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, and reflects like this: this is peaceful, this is sublime, that is, the stilling of all activities, the letting go of all attachments, the ending of craving, fading away, extinguishment. This is called the perception of fading away. And what is the perception of cessation? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, and reflects like this: this is peaceful, this is sublime, that is, the stilling of all activities, the letting go of all attachments, the ending of craving, cessation, extinguishment. This is called the perception of cessation. And what is the perception of dissatisfaction with the whole world? It's when a mendicant lives giving up and not grasping on to the attraction and grasping to the world, the mental fixation, insistence, and underlying tendencies. This is called the perception of dissatisfaction with the whole world. And what is the perception of the impermanence of all conditions? It's when a mendicant is horrified, repelled, and disgusted with all conditions. This is called the perception of the impermanence of all conditions. And what is mindfulness of breathing? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, sits down cross-legged, sets their body straight, and establishes mindfulness in their presence. Just mindful, they breathe in. Mindful, they breathe out. Breathing in heavily, they know, I'm breathing in heavily. Breathing out heavily, they know, I'm breathing out heavily. When breathing in lightly, they know, I'm breathing in lightly. Breathing out lightly, they know, I'm breathing out lightly. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, experiencing the whole body. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, experiencing the whole body. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, stilling the physical process. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, stilling the physical process. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, experiencing rapture. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, experiencing rapture. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, experiencing bliss. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, experiencing bliss. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, experiencing mental processes. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, experiencing mental processes. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, stilling mental processes. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, stilling mental processes. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, experiencing the mind. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, experiencing the mind. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, gladdening the mind. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, gladdening the mind. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, immersing the mind in samadhi. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, immersing the mind in samadhi. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, freeing the mind. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, freeing the mind. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, observing impermanence. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, observing impermanence. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, observing fading away. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, observing fading away. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, observing cessation. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, observing cessation. They practice like this. I'll breathe in, observing letting go. They practice like this. I'll breathe out, observing letting go. This is called mindfulness of breathing. If you were to recite to the mendicant Girimananda these 10 perceptions, it's possible that after hearing them, his illness will die down on the spot. Then Ananda, having learned these 10 perceptions from the Buddha himself, went to Girimananda and recited them. Then after Girimananda heard these 10 perceptions, his illness died down on the spot. And that's how he recovered from that illness.